children, do you want to come up and help me now?
That'd be great.
Can we use this light here? Is it right? Can I take it off?
Right, got some really willing helpers as I arrived in church. See, because I've come to talk to you about children, obviously, it's my role and as a kids friendly advisor, and to hopefully through the service model ways that younger people can be involved in our church. And you know, often when I ask children to do things, they say yes quite easily, and it's just a joy to have these three children, Cynthia and Mikey and JB, to help me this morning with our prayer. So they're going to help lead us in prayer. And when we have the PowerPoint up here, am I doing the looking forward? Right, I better get my little papers on there. JB's going to start, or you two are going to do it together, aren't you? So they're the leaders. And then we have part. So this is a keep your eyes open kind of prayer, because there's pictures to see. And it's a all our voices together kind of prayer. It's good. It's good to hear ourselves praying out loud. And it's good to hear children praying for us and with us. So thank you.
Creator God, you made the heaven and the earth.
Is that on? Is this one on? Can you hear us all right?
Yeah.
All right. We'll start again. It's not a performance, though.
Creator God, you made the heavens and the earth.
You put the sun, moon, and stars in their places.
We will remember what you have done. Thank you, God. We will remember what you have done. Thank you, God. You made us in your image. You made us to look after the earth. Everything you have made is good. Thank you, God. But God, we have not always looked after the earth as you would have it liked. Sometimes we pollute or waste resources. Sometimes we neglect to care for all you have made.
God, we are sorry.
You have made us to love you and one another. We are sorry for the times this week when we've forgotten to be thankful to you, when we've not been kind or loving towards our friends and family. So we take a moment of silence to talk to you about this. Loving God, thank you for your promise today and every day that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So we can be confident again of your love and mercy, not because we are good enough, but because we've been forgiven and offered new life through Jesus. Life in all its fullness. We offer our lives to you again today, taking the little we have and making it much for your kingdom to come on earth as in heaven. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Don't go too far away because I want your help again later. You've got those?
Yes. I now hand over to Cheryl. Thank you very much.
That's great. All right, then this time, I've got three slots. Once we do the prayers with the children and this part, so it's an all-age story. I don't like to call it a children's talk because I think it's a time for us all to learn something from God together, and the story today is from John chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000, which you probably know well, but you might not have ever done it like this before. So I need your help, everybody. We're going to get into two groups, and I visualize two sides of the aisle, and so now I have a wee challenge. So I'm going to split you down the middle, about here, there. And this is group one, and this is group two. And we're going to go through the story together with a few images on here. So maybe if I turn this on, it'll help. Oh yes, better tell you what you have to do first, or if that's not right, is it? So we'll keep going over to you. Is it going to go on to the next one? Yeah, there we go. All right, this might be a little bit familiar to you. So group one, when in the story you hear the words bread or fish, it's going to make you feel slightly hungry, so you'll go yum yum. All right, bread.
Yum yum.
And group two, when you hear a number mentioned, you look like you're quite bright and you can count. So you were going to count that many. So if I said three, you would say 1, 2, 3. If I said five, you'd say
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
If you know the story well, you'll be getting worried at this point. Okay. Hope your children are concentrating too at the back there, are you? Ready to do your yum yum, all your counting parts? Great. All right. So sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with his 12 disciples.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than 6 months
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6
to have enough wages to have enough bread for each
one
of these to have a bite." Another one of his disciples, Andrew, spoke up. "Here is
one
boy with five,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Small barley loaves of bread and
two
fish.
Yum, yum.
And how far will that go with so many?" Jesus said, "Let the people sit down." Actually, let's just pause and see what that might have looked like. A basket. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pieces of bread and 2 small fish. Now, Philip had a problem, and I think that I would have a problem if I was sharing that much with all of you here today. The yum yum side people are getting quite hungry at this point. Maybe the other side are too. What are we going to do? Jesus already knew what he was going to do. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. There were about
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 thousand
people. Well, actually, they only counted the men, but there were women and children as well. Jesus took the loaves of bread and gave thanks and distributed them to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. And when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them up. They gathered them up and they filled 12 baskets with the pieces of bread that were left over by those that had eaten. After the people saw this sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who's come to the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to the mountain by himself. So what can we learn from this story? I wonder what this story can teach us today. Is anyone willing to say anything that they might be thinking about from that story? What can we learn? It's good when we hear God's word to take a moment, not just to recount, "Oh yeah, I know what that's about," but to think again, "What are you teaching me today, God, about this story? What can we learn?" And the the message that I want to bring, and it's been on my heart in terms of ministry with children and families, but also the way that we are as a church family, and as I prayed about coming here today, I really had these words just resounding again and again in my head. Little is much in the hands of Jesus. The story illustrates that, and I hope that some of the other things that I share later will also do the same. Little is much. Each of us has a little to share. Nobody has everything. Nobody has a lot. And so what is the little that we have to offer into God's hands today? I'd like us to have a time of prayer, a prayer of intercession. And again, I am going to do this a little differently maybe for you here in Ngāti Waikato. It's going to be a prayer using pen and paper. I have some bread shapes, pieces of paper and some felts in the basket. And is there someone, would one of the children like to come and just start passing that round? There you go. Oh, thank you, JB. That's great. Basket's just here. So if you started off at the front and then make sure everyone gets a piece of paper and the pens, yeah, in the basket, just pass it to Bob and he can pass it along. Everyone else, I want you to take a piece of paper, which is kind of a bread shape, and think about the little that you might have to offer. But also, we want to focus our prayers today on the children and young people of this community. So perhaps you know the name of someone who comes to church here sometimes who is younger. Perhaps you are involved in a Bible in schools or another ministry in the community where there are children, and you would like to put that down on your piece of paper. Perhaps you could think about, what have I got to offer? I'm too busy. I can't offer anything. Have you got any time? Any time to pray? Any time to participate? Any time to say hello to a child? Have you got any money that you could share so that others can be the ones that are out front, but they might need some resources? What have you got to share? I don't want to put the ideas all in your head. I just think this is a time for you to think about what is the little we have to offer into God's hand, particularly related to children and young people. And this afternoon, some of us are meeting and having a bit more of a discussion about that. Because it's true that things are different nowadays to they have been in the past, and we need to keep seeking God and saying, what are you doing, God, and how do you want me to be involved? So as that keeps on passing around, I'm going to let you hold that bread shape for a while we're going to have some worship songs, and then I'll come back and share a little bit later. And during that time, sometime there might be a word, there might be a thought that you have, and you could write something down on that piece of paper. It may be that you want to write down your grandchildren or your children or children that you know in this community, because we're going to bring those prayers together later in the service. So we're beginning it now, we'll finish it later. But some children are going to help me to get it ready, and I'll invite them to come up here and I'll explain to them while we're singing some songs how they're going to put our prayers together in a basket today. So we have a poster sheet, and we have a basket, and we have some fish they might like to decorate around the edges, because you've got the bread, and the bread is going to go into the basket, and it will be a reminder to us of what we prayed today and what we want for our children. And here's some slogans. And I'm actually going to just let the children design that, because I think they're pretty good at colouring, cutting. Aren't you? You might like to see if there's anyone else who could help you to design the poster, because I think there's some people here that quite like doing things actively as well. I find that not everybody likes to just sit and listen. Some people listen better if they're doing something at the same time. So if you feel inclined, whatever age you are, children of God, and you'd like to go and help the children with the poster, please do and help with them there today. So has the basket's still going around? Yeah, and so I'm just going to let that keep going, and I'll tie our prayers up together a bit later on. Okay. So, while the children carry on preparing the basket for your bread prayers, which we'll gather at the end of the service, I just want to share with you a little bit more about Kids Friendly, about children, about how God loves them, and how God loves us all and wants us to be working together for Him. Not going to go this time, okay. Oh, yeah. Best laid plans always happen, don't they? Why is it not working this time, Joe? Try again? Okay. All right. So the second reading today is Psalm 78. Words that I enjoy a lot. Verses 1 to 7. In the New International Version, it says, "My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, Kate, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds and would keep his commands." Amazing words, amazing command for us to keep on passing on, not keeping it to ourselves. So the message says, listen, dear friends, to God's truth. Bend your ears to what I tell you. I'm chewing on the morsel of a proverb. I'll let you in on an old sweet truth. Stories we heard from our fathers, counsel we heard from our mother's knee. We're not keeping this to ourselves. We're passing it along to the next generation. God's fame and fortune, the marvellous things he has done. And it's wonderful to look out and see different ages represented here today, being passing on that faith to the next generation. How can we do that effectively today? Whose job is it? What works? What doesn't work? What's changed? Well, I guess that's part of my job as a Kids Friendly advisor, is to wrestle with some of those big things. And I'm part of a team, as Bob introduced at the beginning, of Jill Kayser in Auckland and Kyla at the bottom. They're both in Auckland. And I'm here in the Synod of Otago region of Otago Southland. And so Jill's been in this role for 12 years and wrestled with what is happening with children's ministry in churches and in the community. And we try and help resource our churches to do the job as well as they can. So our purpose and vision is to encourage and assist churches to intentionally minister to children and families in their churches and communities, and to resource and coach them to become kids friendly. To provide a self-review, so churches can go, how are we going against 10 ideals, and I'll show you that a bit later. And to facilitate churches to promote themselves as kids friendly, and to build a network of other churches and leaders so they can support and encourage each other. Basically, all those words mean, how can we welcome children more, and how can we welcome more children? Both on Sundays and during the week, in a nutshell. And for the service today, I'm focusing more on the first question. What could it look like on Sunday mornings of welcoming children? Could it look like this, where the children are here and participating, not just keeping busy, but they're actually preparing something for our worship together today, our prayers that we will bring. already had a couple of conversations, and I have been struck again by the thoughtfulness that children can bring and the prayers that they're thinking of and have written on their bread prayers. So how are your bread prayers going? What have you written on yours? Can we imagine a church without children? Sadly, many churches can, because it's their reality. There are 74 churches in the Otago Southland region, and nation and 400 and something nationwide. So in our Presbyterian denomination, we estimate, and it's always a moving feast, that there are about 10% that do not ever have any children pass through their doors. There are 15% that have more than 20 children. And that means, if you're good at maths, group two, that 75% have between 1 and 20 children on a Sunday morning. And the story I hear again and again is it can be 1, or it can be 5, or it can be 10, or it can be 1 again the next week. It fluctuates a lot, and I think that's a bit of your reality here as well. But why should we be bothered about children being in church anyway? Basically, children matter to God. And the scripture in Psalm 78 reminds us that we have an obligation to pass on the faith that we have to the next generation. It's not just for us so we can be cozy and in, but it's for others to hear as well. Pass it on. Children are a gift from God. This is my first gift from God, my eldest daughter, and it's her first born son. And then in the little insert, they had a second child. And now look at them. Sam's about to go to school on Monday. Oh, that's tomorrow. Oh, where did those years go? But they really are a treasure and a gift. And I guess I'd quite like a job where I can show off my grandchildren. But seriously, God has given us a command, something to do. He's called us to raise God-loving children, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength. And these commands I've given you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So when do we talk about God and the important truths of God? And when do we show that life of God in us? Just on Sunday mornings? 24/7. 3 out of 4 of those examples are probably based more in the home. The church has a really important role to encourage families, to encourage parents to raise God-fearing children. When we read these scriptures, we can sometimes see the word children, and immediately in our Western mind, we think, oh yeah, children, families, the family down the road, the neighbours across there, it's their job. In these words from God's word, when he talked about children, our children, it was very much in the sense of our children in our community of faith. So we as a church family have a responsibility to help raise the children of the next generation. We get a little bit too singular, I think, and think it's the parents' job, and if it's not happening, well, it's their fault. They haven't done a very good job. But as a whole church family, we have a part to play, maybe a little part to play, in raising the next generation. I've got some ideas to share with you about that. So whose job is it? Listen, we're not keeping it to ourselves. We're passing it along to the next generation. A Google image, pass it on. And guess what I got? Lots of images of rugby balls being passed along. And I thought that was fitting. But I did find the one in the middle with a rugby ball being passed along, and underneath it says, Jesus is Lord, pass it on. So I thought, yep, that'll do. But passing it on, older people to younger people, younger people to older people, all of our ages mixed up together. Let's have a look at a couple more scriptures. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." You know, Jesus' friends thought that he was going to be too busy to be bothered with children. But he said, "No, I'm not. Let them come to me. Don't stop them." He commands us to welcome children. And there are lots of ways to do that. The first way we can do that is to know their names. To know them by name. To encourage them and help them to know your names too. To children, sometimes it's just a sea of faces. I can remember my children saying, a lady talked to me at church today and I don't know who it was. And I said, "Well, what did she look like?" "She had grey hair." Well, that narrowed it down to about 50. And so, you know, but when they started to get to know them and know their name, they said, "Oh, Isabel talked to me today," or "Mrs. Smith." That just finding out what they like to be called, and do we know their names? And is there anything when a children come into your church that lets them know that this is a place where they are welcome, where they can have a part to play? Some churches, especially if they have a large number of children, will have a welcome table in the foyer, and they'll have sticker charts that children can put on, and so any new children are become aware of straight away. There could be a welcome pack for them, information for the parents. That's probably not your situation here. You will probably know straight away. You might even know the family that come, and so your welcome can be quite a lot more personal than that. What about the occasional time that someone comes, or they may want their child baptised? And that still does happen, not quite as often as it used to, but it does happen that grown children will come back to that area that they grew up in, and they will want their children baptised. And so churches can be welcoming for that one-off time as well, when maybe that child is given a Bible, or the parents are given a Bible to read to the child. And in this particular example, I don't know whether you can see, they had a banner on the pulpit here, and it said "Welcome," and then the child's name, because they were able to remove the letters and Velcro on the child's name. In this case, it was William. Children are really receptive, and there is a huge percentage of children who will decide to follow Jesus at a young age. In fact, it's the largest group. And probably even in this church setting, many of you would say, "Yeah, I can remember as a child saying, 'Yes, Jesus, I want to follow you.'" Usually, if I ask people to do a show of hands, it would be at least over 50%, maybe three quarters of people in our churches began their journey with Jesus at quite a young age. But if that's true, and we don't have those children in our churches anymore, how are they going to hear about Jesus, so that they too can say later in life, "I began following Jesus when I was a child"? So we have a real challenge, don't we? So it's not all about Sunday, it's about where our children are in our community and how we can reach them. Bill Hybels has shared an encouraging word, that the single remaining common interest or entrance point for non-church people into the life of the church is children. We have a wide open door to almost every family in every community worldwide, and we love and serve their kids. And I think you know that in this community through your relationships in Bible and schools and in Banana Club and Boys Brigade and other groups and initiatives that you have had in the past. Music groups, you will know from your history, that's when mums and kids used to come along, or when the parents would drop their boys off and they'd have an amazing time, they'd have these good relationships with the parents, we got to know them. So there are those opportunities, but what is God saying and doing now? What does he want to raise up in this community? Because it is sure that it's not going to look like this anymore in the future. Does this look familiar to anyone? Does a little bit to me, you know, dress up in your Sunday best. Black and white photos, that gives it away a little bit, doesn't it? But it's not like that anymore. The Sunday schools of the 50s and 60s were huge in our Presbyterian denomination and in other denominations. There was a burgeoning of children. In a community like this, most families would go to church. Is that true now? No, it isn't. And instead of going, what do we have to do to get children back to church again? I'd suggest that it's probably not going to happen like that again in the future. And let's think about why it was like that then. Sunday school began in the 1780s with a man called Robert Rake in England, who saw that there were children working in factories who only had one day off a week, it was a Sunday, and they were running riot around the city on that day off, getting into trouble, stealing, just being a bit of hooligans really. And he said, this isn't good enough. And they're not learning to read and write. Their future is going to be the same as their parents. What can we do about it? Let's teach them to read and write. And he began Sunday school. And it grew hugely within about 20 years. I think there were a million children in Sunday school in England. And it spread throughout the world. Sunday school, even in if you're a little bit older, I can remember that Sunday school didn't actually happen at the same time as church. It was before church or in the afternoon. And then everyone came to the worship service together. So the children came to church and sat in church. And it wasn't really that interesting or engaging for them, but they were there joining in with their church family. About 40, 50 years ago, depending on what area you're from, Sunday school started happening at the same time and became a program that children went out to during the service for part of the time. So they could have some education, some learning at their own level. I'm not saying that wasn't good, it has a time and place, but the research shows that more than 50% of young people still walk away from the church and from Christian faith, even if they have been right through Sunday school and amazing youth groups. Often there are those transition times when they come and they have to come and sit in church and they don't know what's going on. They don't understand what's happening in church. It's not the culture that they know and they've not been part of it. And so that doesn't encourage them to stay. They haven't heard the stories of faith being passed on from the older generation. They have had some amazing teaching, but is that the most important thing? And where should that teaching about God happen? In the home? Or 1 hour a week on Sunday? Or less than that, half an hour? How do we pass on faith effectively? Some things are changing and need to continue to change. I can't stand here and say I've got the answers at all. I read and I understand some of the trends, but every community has and every church has to work out what's going to be best in our region. But helping you to understand that things are not going to go back to this is probably the first step. Don't expect next Sunday for 10 families to turn up at church. I'm sure you are realistic about that. How do we reach out to the children and families in our community? What are some of the ways that we can use the little we have to share? So one thing is true, that as children participate and join in, they learn. They learn by doing, they learn by being part of it. And I'm looking forward to hearing and seeing what the children have done here to help you to worship God this morning. They start from a place of belonging. In the past, I think we expected a lot of believing first. We want to know that everyone believes a certain way and then you're kind of in, you're part of the church. Now it seems the more important thing is that you find a place to belong. The believing and the becoming will happen. So we want to build churches that are renowned for the way they intentionally welcome, celebrate and nurture children. So a few pictures to show you maybe what it might look like. It doesn't need to look exactly like this, but these five values that we have are kids-friendly. That a kids-friendly church is a place where children are welcome, celebrated, and and where they belong, and they participate in the life and worship of the faith community. Yes, they might be the ones that do the more active dressing up and parts like that, but I love it when adults get involved in that as well, and where they can be invited to participate, where they can explore and learn and experience the love of God, and where they are valued for the immense love and life that they bring to the whole church family. Because children can create opportunity for people of all ages to learn from, respect and appreciate one another. Just had a little incident there before when I went over and was talking to JB and the others at the table, and JB showed me what he had written on his prayer. And, you know, I was giving you suggestions about prayer in this community and children here. JB, would you feel happy to read out what you wrote on your prayer?
Yeah.
Can you read that out in a nice big voice?
I pray for the homeless kids in Nepal.
The homeless kids in Nepal. And for me, I just went, oh my goodness, his vision is bigger than mine. No, I'm focusing here on that Dalai Kaka. JP has taught me something, to just remember to pray for people beyond here. And he has a friend from Nepal, so he has that relationship connection, and he wanted to pray for them today. So if I came to your region and worked with you a little bit more, then I'd be looking with you at some of these 10 areas of how do we develop a heart for children? How do we do that more in practical ways? What is our vision? What does a kids-friendly Sunday look like? Do we have a mission culture? Do we understand our community and how are we reaching out to them? How are children valued, and how do we value those that work with children? Is it a safe and healthy environment for children, and what things are we putting in place to make sure it is? And we have some obligations as churches to do that well. The Vulnerable Children's Act that was passed in July this year have tightened up some of the regulations, and we need to be sure that as Presbyterian churches we are squeaky clean and are doing all our best to keep children safe. And do we partner with parents to help them in their important role, and how can we do that more? Do we commit ourselves to re-review ourselves, because one thing's for sure, things don't stay the same for very many years. And at the moment you don't have a minister, but you are all ministers. And are you kids friendly? Are you friendly towards children? And would you be seeking a minister that will be welcoming of children and families? So there are some churches go through this process, and they then put up a poster to say to the community, we're kids friendly. It's not an essential to do that, but sometimes it can help. And just for a couple of minutes, I want to zoom through some ways that some churches are showing that they are welcoming of children. Posters in their foyer, signs that say, hey kids, you're welcome here. Information for parents about what's going on. In some bigger churches, it has to be quite an elaborate system of sticker charts and welcome, and making sure you don't miss any new child who comes. This is Leith Valley Church in Dunedin, where they set up every Sunday in a school hall, and they have a big way of making sure the children are welcomed as part of that. In other places, there maybe if you have a bulletin or something that you get handed, then there's that kids-friendly look to it. There are children on it, or there's the sign of the kids-friendly symbols on it there somewhere, or in your notices. We missed the children's song. I hope we're going to have time to do it later, because I feel bad that we missed it. But anyway, we might get a chance to do that if I stop talking. Tiano have lovely rooms to welcome children. And what do the rooms look like if the children go out to Sunday school? Are they welcoming, inviting, or is it sort of like a little bit dark and a bit cold? What are the things like on the walls for them? If you look at children's classrooms today, they are amazing, aren't they? So, and what happens in the time that children are in church? There are ways to actively involve them. Let's see. And in some churches like Batch here in Dunedin, which is a breakfast church, the children stay in and participate in the whole service. True, they've had breakfast, so they're really happy. And they can go back and nibble a bit more, but they stay at the back and they do activities, maybe a wee bit like we're doing here today. if you had 20 children, you might have to change that because you have to be flexible with who you've got. But children do love to participate, and Christmas is coming. And so how are we going to celebrate Christmas in our community this year? A lot of churches nowadays are going, we can't do the whole pageant thing where you have 10 practices. But on the day, with whoever turns up, let's have an all-age interactive time. And children can dress up and adults can dress up, and we can retell that treasured story of Jesus' birth and coming to be one of us, to be amongst us. It's great when all ages can work together. In Weston, the youth group got involved with the children, and that worked really well. There was a lot of modelling that went on, the older ones with the younger ones. Children can share their gifts, you know, find out what children are good at doing. JB told me that he was really good at organising, so he's in charge of putting this poster together. How's it going?
Good.
It's good? Are we going to have something to show at the end of the service? I'm nearly finished. No pressure. So we might want to start gluing some things on. Perhaps you need to glue the basket on so that people's bread prayers are ready to go on it as well. And we want to welcome children in all aspects of our worship. As I said before, belonging is the first thing, and believing comes after that. So how can we at Lapdale Waitaka welcome children more? And how can we welcome more children? I talk about children, but I know they grow up very quickly and they soon become youth and young people and young adults. So when I say children, I want to include the youth as well. How can we welcome more youth? How can we welcome youth more? So let's open the door and tell the next generation. And remember that little is much in the hands of Jesus. And I just want to finish with a quote from N.T. Wright, who was commenting on the passage that the feeding of the 5,000. If I can find it. Yeah. Philip didn't know what to do. Andrew didn't either. But he brought the boy and his lunch to Jesus' attention. The point is obvious, and perhaps we need to be reminded of it. So often, we ourselves have no idea what to do, but the starting point is always to bring what there is to the attention of Jesus. You can never tell what he's going to do with it, though a part of Christian faith is the expectation that he will do something. Something we hadn't thought of. Something new and creative. So God bless you, Lapdale Waitaka, as you hold your prayers for children and young people in this community, and how best we can tell that next generation the wonders of God, the wonders that we already know and experience for ourselves. I'm just wondering how we can best tidy all this up together with the prayers that you have and the time that it is. And is there one?
Is it final song?
A final song? Could. I'm just thinking I will need to work with the children and then bring your prayers up. Could we sing that? What is the final song?
It was just a benediction. We could leave it for today if you like.
Could we sing the Jesus Loves You Won't? Is that okay to go back to the Jesus Loves Me, is it? And do that. And while we sing that, if you're happy to come up and put your prayer in the basket, that would be great. If you'd rather not, or you would like someone to come and collect it, just wave it in the air and I'll come around and collect them. And then we'll see if we've got something to just bring together as a final prayer with our poster by the end of the song. All right? Thank you. I'll just put the basket here. Maybe on it. Thank you. Well, we've got lots more prayers to add to our basket, and hopefully the children will come and help me do that. Little is much in the hands of Jesus. Let's just bring our prayers together today as we say the benediction. Thank you for the gifts within and relationships of working with children. Help us to know what you want. Charlie, prayers of encouragement when we are down. Time, money, Bible and schools. May we have a thirst for righteousness. Children and staff. Let's make happy families. Let's pray for Bible and schools. Thank you that you are the perfect Father. You show yourself to us. Young people have lots to offer. Cuddle children. Maybe we could have a family camp. Learning obedience, trust and faith. We pray for some specific people by name. What little can I do to plant seeds in young lives, so that they can grow to know and love and glorify your name. Lord, we bring our bread prayers to you. We bring the prayers and the little that we have to offer. We bring our lives again to you, knowing that you have led us this far by your grace, and we can be confident that you will lead us on. I am confident that you will continue to bless, to work in, to speak to the people of this community in Ngāti Waikaka. May they be light and salt in this community. May they shine your light, your truth, and may people come to know Jesus better through them, through their lives, through their words, through their relationships, through their serving in this community. We want you to be glorified, Lord. And Lord, may this prayer basket be a reminder visually in the weeks to come of ways that people can do a little, and in your hands it becomes much. Thank you that you love us so much. And I just pray your blessing in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, God our Father, and the Holy Spirit, our helper and guide. Be with us all, in Jesus' name.